funny. Okay, there we go. Guys, tonight, no goofing around, just straight business. We're going to talk about joy. Philippians chapter 4. We're going to kind of pick up where Jay left off there in Philippians chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 4. It's an easy one. You guys learned it in Sunday school and you still remember it. It goes like this: rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. See, you remembered. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we recognize that You are the giver of all good things. That according to Your wisdom, You have given us all things necessary for life and godliness. Father, we're thankful that You have given us Your joy, that we might be filled with that joy. And what a tremendous blessing that is to us. Father, I'm thankful that we get to share that together. And I pray, Lord, that as we consider the Scriptures tonight, Father, help us to understand why it comes and where it comes from, and how we can be joyful together as we accomplish the work that You've set out for us to do. It's in Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. Rejoice in the Lord always. I thought about leading you in a zippy round of that, but I decided against it. So I didn't know if after dinner if that would be wise, but you guys remember how it goes, right? I might change my mind, you know. I have right? Again, I say rejoice, and you clap your hands a couple of times, and pretty soon you're feeling it and singing it like you mean it. He said, rejoice always. I think it was, I don't remember if it was here or where it was, but I heard Mike Harbor say this one time. he said, the beatings will continue. Right? Do you remember the second half? Go ahead, you do. That's right. Until morale improves. Woo! So if anybody needs an attitude adjustment, sending you over to see Harbor, he's going to put a smile on your face the old-fashioned way. And then we will have been able to check off Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Right? This is going to be easy, isn't it? Yeah, it's so funny to me, but you know, I think sometimes people see, you know, the commandments of Christianity as commandments, and I'm not trying to take anything away from those commandments, but you know, if I tell, you know, one of my school kids, kid, you know, you're going to have to clean the bathroom, that's a command, but it doesn't have to be sorrowful. You know, you can do that with a good attitude. It doesn't have to be, you know, you don't have to start dragging your feet and putting your lip out and pouting to your friends. You can actually just go clean the bathroom and have a good time about it. You know, if not, you might have to do it again. I had this one kid. I told him what he did was this. I was handing out, delegating different jobs, you know, to clean up around the building. And so this guy and his buddy, all of a sudden, they disappear. You know, it's magic. They just evaporate. And so I made a mental note of that. I handed out all the jobs. So I said, hey, you guys, do you have a job? I have one job left. Cleaning the bathroom. Man, you should have seen that guy. All of a sudden, he's, you know, I mean, at first, no, I'm not. Oh, yes, you are, son. So, okay, well, then he's taking his phone into the bathroom. He's texting his mommy, I don't want to clean the bathroom. He said, give me that and get in the toilet and get that thing clean. Come on, we're going to have a great time today. Amen, amen. What's the alternative to that? Let's look at a little 1 Corinthians chapter 10. First Corinthians chapter 10. I'm not going to spend a great deal of time on this. I think one verse will be sufficient for our purposes tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 10. Nor grumble, as some of them did and were destroyed
by the destroyer.
Yeah, that's a big deal, man. They grumbled. Well, was that big? I mean, who cares, right? A little grumbling, not a big deal. It cost them, didn't it? Cost them. Because, you know, where your attitude is today, your actions are tomorrow. So if you don't control the attitude, you will lose control of the actions. They grumbled, and so the result was, at some point, they just dug their heels in and said, "We are not going another step." And by the way, Moses, there's a whole bunch of us who agree. So we had us a little meeting, and we voted you out and us in, and we're going to do it our own way. We are not going any further. And the Lord said, "You're right. You're dead. I will not force you to go one more step." You're gone. Destroyed by the destroyer. Turn to Romans chapter 14. Romans 14 and verse 17. He describes the kingdom of God. He says, "The kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. When Jesus is going to describe what the church is like, He uses these three words: righteousness, peace, and joy. Boy, it is fun, isn't it? The church is a riot. I mean, where else would you find this ragtag bunch of monkeys? Put them all in one room. I mean, this is a great time. It really is. I can't imagine, honestly, there isn't any other group of people I'd rather hang out with than you. The kingdom of heaven is righteousness, and it's peace, and it's fun. It's joy. You know, I appreciate what Jay was talking about, that you got to like it. You got to learn to like it. You know, even in things that you might find uncomfortable, you got to learn to like it. It's joy in the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of heaven is a kick in the pants. That may have been lost on you. That's a Westernism that means a good time. Okay, that's not a... All right. Because that may have other connotations in Ohio, so I want to make that clear. That's a positive thing, okay? All right. The kingdom of heaven is a lot of fun. When... Turn to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. We're going to just naturally overlap a little bit here, but John chapter 15, verse 11. It says, "These things I've spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you." You know, where we get our joy from is from our relationships. That's what really gives us joy. Our relationships are the source of joy. Notice how Jesus said, "Love one another." See, He wants His joy to be made full, right? And He wants your joy to be made full and His joy to be in you. So how do we accomplish that? Love one another as I have loved you. And He says, "No one has greater love than he who lays down his life for his friends. And you are my friends." Relationship is the backdrop against which Jesus says He wants your joy to be full. It's going to be through relationships. You know, I couldn't help but I was paying attention. But I couldn't help but look over and, you know, there's Shannon. She's got whoever that is, you know, who's holdable. Who is that? Jace. All right. And he's trying to bite her nose off and just having a great time. And, you know, he's smiling. And, and, And then Matt, I don't know if Matt was listening or not, but I was paying attention. You know, Matt's got his little one, and they're having a great time together, and you know, they're enjoying each other's company. You're having fun together. They're developing relationships. Those are the things that give us real joy. I was at a memorial service last week. It was a little odd. Justin's dad was there and did the memorial service, and I just kind of tagged along. And your dad, by the way, did a great job, Justin. You should be proud. He's stellar. He's right up the top of the list. And so, one of the things that he brought out as a part of his, you know, we're at the graveside. This was the whole deal, you know. They had the open casket viewing. They had that doesn't get done much anymore. Then they had the memorial, and then they all went out to the graveside. You know, almost lost one of the pallbearers into the hole, but he was saved. He had it deposited the correct way, and so old Jason Shanahan, you know, he's talking to these guys about what matters in life. And so there's about 25 people or so standing around, and you know, he's telling them what matters most. You know, it's relationships that matter most. So when it's all said, what's going to count? Well, relationships are going to count. Who you love and who loves you is going to count. That's the only place we really receive joy from, is from those relationships. When you think of the times that you anticipate being joyful, it's relationships that are prominent in those moments. Oh, remember when we did? Oh, remember when that? Those almost always revolve around relationships and shared experiences. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Look at verse 3 and 4. This is the very thing I wrote you, lest when I came I should have sorrow from those who ought to make me rejoice. Having confidence in you all that my joy would be the joy of you all. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart I wrote to you with many tears, not that you should be made sorrowful, but that you might know the love which I have especially for you. Paul is trying to get the church in Corinth prepared for his arrival. He says, listen, I want you guys to be ready when I get there. He said, I don't want to come to you again in anger. He said, I want to be able to receive you and you be happy and me be happy. He said, you guys are the people that I should have joy in. He said, I don't want to come there and be sorrowful. I don't want you to either. He said that my joy would be the joy of you all. Now, out of much affliction, anguish of heart, I wrote to you with tears. But not for the purpose that you should be sorrowful, but you might know the love that I have especially for you. That relationship was supposed to produce some joy between them. Joy at seeing the Apostle Paul again. Joy at being reunited. You know, it's joyful when we get to rally together in Lima. That's joyful. Man, that's a good time. This is a great weekend. I was talking with Arthur a little bit earlier. I mean, what would you rather do this weekend? I mean, you want to be here or you want to go to Disneyland? I mean, sorry, but I'm not going to Disneyland. my vacation time is precious. I'm going to spend it with you. I mean, I do not care to see Pirates of the Caribbean. And I'm not good with roller coasters, so I'll spend it with you. This is the place to be. This is where stuff really matters. Oh, are you going to get the T-shirt from Disneyland and walk away? See, but here you get to build real relationships. This is where real joy takes place. This is really the magic kingdom, right here. This is where it happens. I don't know, that was cheesy. But it came to me and I couldn't filter it out before it made it to the mic. Turn to 3 John. Yeah. Stop that. 3 John chapter 1, verse 3. I was very glad when brethren came and bore witness to your truth. That is how you are walking in truth. And I have no greater joy than this, to hear of my children walking in truth. John's excited. He said, you guys give me joy. Paul told that to the Thessalonians. He told that to the Philippians. He said, you guys are my crown of joy. He said, I'm so excited about you. I'm so happy about you. You just fill me with joy. We do have that opportunity. But those relationships really become much deeper. I mean, potluck is good. I'm not saying we should stop that, but but that's not what really gives us joy. When I notice that the things that people are the most joyful, not when they are at rest, and not when they are at peace necessarily, but you know when people are the most joyful? It's when they're working. People are the most joyful when they're at work. When they're doing something together, when they are united in spirit and intent on one purpose. If I want to really set the kids off bad for the day, I mean, if you want to make your kids angry, unmanageable, just generally sullen, you know, start off their morning with a good selection of movies. You know, let them watch movies for 2 or 3 hours and then see what you get out of them for the rest of the day. Now, on the other hand, you get those same guys up in the morning. I like that picture of being pulled out of bed. You know, that's pretty good. You get that. Yeah. You get those same guys up in the morning, you know, and you get something accomplished before breakfast time. Do you know those guys will have good attitudes? Now, they'll fight you maybe if they're not in the habit the first few times. But you know what? People want to be working. One of the worst things that can happen to a man is for him to be unemployed. It robs him. It robs him of any sense of self-worth or value, because men derive a great portion of their self-worth from that which they produce. See, God designed us to be workers, to be producers. And when we take that and we divide it, when we rob ourselves of that, it strips us of our value. It's terrible. I mean, it's just absolutely destructive to men. You know, the unemployment is terribly destructive. You know, don't do it. I mean, get out of it. You need to be working. You need to be doing something. You have got to be moving in a positive direction. Those guys, you know, they're depressed. It's true. I mean, just you can watch it. Just tears them right down. You be working. You be moving. You guys especially. Be goers. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19. Who is our hope or joy or crown of exaltation? Is it not even you? In the presence of our Lord Jesus at His coming, for you are our glory and joy. Paul was proud of the Thessalonians, man. They received the Word of God for what it really is. When they heard the message of Christ, they received it as the Word of God. He was excited for these guys. He had imparted His whole life to them. I mean, they were important to Him, and He was important to them. And He calls them our glory and our joy. You are our hope or joy or crown of exaltation. It's you in the presence of our Lord Jesus at His coming. Paul's excited about these guys. He is joyful about them. He rejoices over them and will do so at the coming of the Lord Jesus. He's excited about them. I am so thrilled about you, he says. You're our glory, you're our joy. But for people to be joyful, they got to be working. They got to be working. Enough. You can turn your Bible to, let's do Philippians chapter 2. Now we're kind of mentally going to take a trip back to the Garden of Eden. You know, so many things become clear in Genesis. Philippians chapter 2. What's Adam upset about in the Garden of Eden? Well, it's lonely. You know, I don't like being here alone. Being alone is no fun. So, all right. So, the Lord's going to give Eve to Adam. Okay. And what are they going to do? Well, they're going to work. They're going to work together. She is his helpmate. So they're going to be engaged in this process, in this program, together. So they're going to tend the garden together. So they're going to work this thing. They're going to work this program. They're going to do it together. Adam said, yeah, this is the deal right here. This is it. Bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. So this is a helpmate suitable for me, right? A helpmate. See, a helper. We're going to get some work done. We're going to do this thing together. When I work with married couples, one of the things strange exercise that I insist that they do is I make them write out a mission statement for their marriage. Well, that's silly. Well, what are you getting married for anyway? She's real attractive. And I'm starving to death. And most people get married out of desperation. That's the true story right there. Most people figure, yeah, you'll do. That's true. That's true. Let me see. What are my prospects? that one. People, I make them write those mission statements out because I want them to understand that they need help in order to accomplish something. And I give them some parameters. Your mission statement has to be bigger than what you can accomplish on your own. It's going to have to take you at least one lifetime to complete. And it has to be directed to something outside of your family. Because anything else is going to be self-destructive. I mean, if your mission statement is to have a great time together, that's not a reason to get married. If your mission statement is to have a happy family, that ain't going to do it either. It's going to have to be externally focused. It's going to have to be bigger than what you can accomplish in one lifetime. And it's going to have to be something that will require the help of your spouse. Otherwise, you don't really need to get married. See, marriage is a partnership. See, engaged in doing, in working, in accomplishing something for the kingdom of heaven. And you do need their help. See, get those things. It's about working together. See, that's what makes relationships work, is when they're working together. Listen, if I don't need your help, then I don't value your input. I can do this without you. I can be happy without you. Thank you very much. Then I don't need your input. See, but if we're working something together, then you're valuable to me. If it's just about my happiness, then this is a short-term partnership. This is not a long-term marriage commitment. If this is just about having a great time together, then when we stop having a great time, then we don't need to be married anymore. There's got to be something external. It's got to be something longer than what you can accomplish. And it has to be something that requires some help. That's what makes for real relationships. Those are people who work together to get stuff done. Philippians chapter 2. Promised you we'd get there. Verse 1. If therefore there is any encouragement in Christ, if there's any consolation of love, if there's any fellowship of the Spirit, any affection, compassion, make my joy complete. by being in the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. How is your joy going to be made complete? Unity of purpose. Same mind, same love, same spirit, same purpose. Working together. Moving as a team. When we'll go to John chapter 4 after this, but you know, we were talking at youth camp. You know, you guys have your youth camp, and I'm excited for your H2O. I think that's going to be fantastic. You guys go for it. Get her done. But when we have our Montana youth camp, and a lot of you kids have been out to that, you know, as a I think that the staff has more fun than the campers. We have a great time, man. It is a kick, and we have a lot of fun. But you know, youth camp is a lot of work. I mean, you guys know you've put it on, you've done it. You know, Mike back there was talking about sleep deprivation week, and you know that's awesome, man. That is fun. One of the guys a few years ago, you know, we were talking, we were at camp, and in one of those moments, somebody said, "Hey, you know, after this, we should get together, and we should you know, take a vacation together." But you know, that wouldn't be nearly as much fun. It wouldn't. What would you rather do for a week? Would you rather deprive yourself of sleep? Have, you know, cream pies smeared up your nose, over your head, around your ears, you know, down the collar. They're inventive. would you rather be running with the kids and doing this and going through the chow line and being in the rain? So, or would you rather sit on the beach and watch the waves come in? Man, by wave 7, I'm about finished. What would you rather do? Man, it's so much more fun to be at work. Isn't it? That's enjoyable. That's what makes Christianity fun. This would be awful if we just came every Lord's Day and we sat down and all right, Mike, give it to us. Let's relax for a little while. Sing us another special, brother. I couldn't do that. This is not about take a load off. This is about equipping the saints for the work of service. That's why it's exciting. That's why it's exciting, because we're working together. We didn't come to relax. We came to be at work. We came to be able, if you came to relax this weekend, you came for the wrong reason. Because you came to spur somebody on to love and good deeds. You came to work this weekend. Now, I hope that you also are spurred on and encouraged. But guys, if you're not working, you ain't happy. You're just not. I noticed that the people who are working in congregations don't do much grumbling. You know what else I notice? You noticed that too, didn't you? The people who do the grumbling aren't getting very much work done. Yeah, that was profound, wasn't it, Roby? There you go. Write that down quick before you forget. The guys who are grumbling aren't getting much work done. The guys who are working, they're having a great time. They're having a great time. Don't let anybody else get after you. John chapter 4. John 4, verse 34. Jesus said, "My food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to accomplish His work." Now, don't you say, "There are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest"? Behold, I said, you lift up your eyes and look on the fields. They are white for harvest. Already he who reaps is receiving wages, gathering fruit for eternal life, that he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. In this case, the saying is true. One sows, another reaps. I have sent you for that which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor. Who's having all the joy? Who's having all the fun? The guys who are working. They're having all the fun. That's where the action is. Get in the field. The guys on the sidelines, they're not having any fun at all. They're just over there sulking. They're not having any fun. The fun is in the field, guys. The fun, that's where it's at. The fun is where the work is getting done. That's where it's exciting. Get on the field. Let's play some ball, shall we? Now, I saw the pictures of those guys up on the screen, and I saw some of you older guys get in there too, you know. I saw some of you guys kicking the ball around out there. That's where the fun is, right? That's where the fun is at. The fun's not on the sideline. Don't laugh, Mr. Utsi. I saw pictures of you out there too, man. I saw you. You were like doing one of those in that picture. You were ready to guard something or kick somebody. Right? Yeah, the rolling tackle. I watch out for you. The fun is on the field, isn't it? It's not on the sidelines. See, we rejoice together when we're reaping and when we're sowing. That's fun. That's where the action is, guys. That's where it happens. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 24. It says, I rejoice. Oh, there's joy again. In my sufferings for your sake. And in my flesh I do my share on behalf of His body, which is the church, in filling up that which is lacking in Christ's afflictions. Of this church I was made a minister, according to the stewardship from God bestowed on me for your benefit, that I might fully carry out the preaching of the Word of God. Paul says, I rejoice in my sufferings. Now he said, they're for your sake. But notice who he's working with. Filling up that which is lacking in Christ's affliction. The joy that we have is from our shared labor. What about the joy that we have in the Lord? Same. It's from our shared labor. The passage that we read out of John chapter 4, he said, you know, someone else planted and you have entered into their labor. You know, fields are white for harvest. We get to be partners with the Lord in this thing. And in that, there is joy. Because we're working together. every year, without fail, I think, is according in my mind, just stay still. Don't do any of this or just. But according to my memory, my mother would always come. She would always scheme. And she would always plot and plan. And I know that she stayed awake at night for about 9 months out of the year during school. So that when summertime hit, she always had some clever way that she was going to get us to get some work done. She always had come up with some clever plot. Some scheme that was gonna take our summer away from us after we had earned it after 9 months of labor. She was gonna find something. It's true. Something, some way that she was gonna motivate us to get out there and get some work done. And sometimes it worked, and sometimes it didn't. But in all honesty, you know. Some of my best memories in that sense are doing stuff together, like working in our garden at home. We're happy. You want somebody to just be a total wreck? Make themselves the center of their life. It's true. They'll be absolutely miserable in no time. You don't think so? Try it. Don't try it. Take my word for it, okay? You want somebody to have a great attitude? Make somebody else the center of their focus. You know what? All of a sudden they turn that around. We're happy when we're working. Because our relationships are born out through that shared labor. We're happy when we're working with the Lord because we're sharing labor with Him. You have entered into His labor. You get to be partners with the Lord. You know, Jay was talking about how, hey, ask Him. Hey, you need something from the Lord? Ask Him. So this is a partnership, right? So he said, come on, we need to get this done. He said, okay, yes, sir, I'm going to need da-da-da-da-da. I was like, I'll give you these three and that should do the job. Okay, Lord, we're ready to go. Let's get it done. It's a partnership. That makes it fun. That's what makes it exciting for us. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 13. To the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing. So that also with the revelation of His glory, you may rejoice with exaltation. What are you sharing? Sufferings. With who? Christ. What should you do about it? Rejoice. Sharing them. When you go through and you look at the Scriptures in the New Testament that use the word joy or rejoice, you're almost always going to find them in the context of labor. I didn't just pick out a few. Of a much larger body of evidence. You're almost always going to find those in the greater context of shared labor. Be at work, guys. The fun is on the field. This is where it happens. The sidelines are for losers. you can't have bad edge be on the field. This is what's fun. Christians have the most fun. You think Paul, who said, if there's no resurrection, we're of all men most to be pitied. You think Paul would have traded his life for anybody else's? No way. No way. Would you rather have the things of the world? No way. What benefit were you then deriving of the things of which you are now ashamed? Would you like to go back? Was that fun? No, that was stupid. Christianity is fun. This is where it's at, guys. Joy comes through relationships. Relationships are built on shared endeavor. They're built on working together. And that is what makes it joyful. When we're working together with the Lord, and we get to work together with those people who are also thus employed, that's fun. Of all the things I could do, this is what I want to do. And you're the people I want to do it with. This is the only game in town, guys. There is nothing else better than this. And I am having the time of my life.